Welcome to season 4 of the Fit Farming Food Mom Podcast. Connie is a world champion powerlifter, former bodybuilder, and an elite trainer and nutrition coach. As a movement enthusiast and health nerd, she is here on this show to speak with educated guests and dive into the realm of all things health, fitness, mindset, and everything in between. If you enjoy this show, please do us a huge favor by smashing the like or subscribe button and leaving a review. Now, let's get to the show.
Hola, everybody. So excited to be back. It's been a whirlwind. I have been traveling the whole month of October. I went down to Portland to train with my coach for about a week, which was really excellent. We're making a lot of progress. I also had some work to get done down there. And then I just spent a week in Ohio. I went to the Swiss Symposium, which is an elite sports medicine, functional medicine, weight training conference. And it was one of the most exceptional experiences of my life. And I am not kidding there. I almost am coming down with this post-conference depression because it was so refreshing to be filled in rooms filled with people that were pursuing the same things. They were pursuing more knowledge. They were nerding out in all things health and fitness and longevity. You could speak to each other because I know sometimes with our knowledge, we sound like we're speaking a different language. We could speak to each other in that language and totally relate with each other and relate with the goals for our companies and our strategies. And it just was an excellent, excellent experience. And I'm going to be doing a podcast to talk about that a little more when I have a second to slow down and really articulate everything that I learned at that conference. But it was absolutely incredible. Hands down, best conference experience of my life. So super pumped about that. Today, I have my friend and client and former interview that I did a couple years ago, Crystal Sykes, coming on the podcast. I was coaching her for her first powerlifting meet starting last January, and she competed a few months ago, and along that journey, she learned so many things, and so she was telling me all these things, you know, as we were going through it, and I was like, this would be an excellent podcast. So here we are, post-powerlifting meet with Crystal. We're going to talk about so many things that I think are missed in the health and fitness industry, and excellent episode. Super excited for you guys to listen to it. Before I dive into this episode, I know Crystal also feels the same way as I do about Element, which is the electrolyte drink that is pink salt and no artificial sweeteners. And you know I've talked about it a million times, so I don't need to dive into it extensively. All you really need to know is it's amazing. They now permanently have grapefruit, and I can't recommend it enough. So no sugar, no artificial anything, sodium, potassium, and magnesium. Excellent product. If you want to try it out for yourself, head on over to drinklmnt.com/Connie. You can make an order and get yourself a free sample pack on top of that, which is pretty cool. I think there's like every flavor in there, including the unflavored ones. So excellent little addition. Those little guys aren't cheap. And it's nice to get a freebie every once in a while. So head on over there, check it out. And I won't ramble on any further. Here is my episode with Crystal Sykes. Here we go. All right, Crystal, I'm excited to have you joining me again. I had you on the show quite some time ago. I don't even remember when. It was years ago now at this point, I think. But yeah, and then we've continued talking since then. And then in like January, I want to say you reached out and you're like, hey, I like what you're doing. I think I want to try powerlifting. Who should I like reach out to for that? And I was like, oh, I sent you like 8 million things. And then we got talking. And you were like, well, why don't you just coach me? And I was like, because I'm not a powerlifting coach. And you're like, yeah, but I could be your guinea pig. And I was like, okay, that sounds fun. As long as you know you're my guinea pig, because I love these kind of things. I'm really into them. But I think the confidence part of it is always hard, right? Anyway, so love these things. We decided to start doing some experimenting. You ended up doing a powerlifting meet and kicking some butt. And it's a happy ever after kind of story.
Yep. I am. You explained it all perfectly. I'm so excited to be here. Thanks for having me. And Yeah, it's crazy because I feel like it had been like a little bit since we actually had like talked one on one. And then when I reached out, I was just like, I'm going to figure this out. And then you were the one. It was just meant to be.
It was, I feel like. Yeah. And we discovered a lot of things on the way. So we were like, okay, we are going to do a podcast on this because I learned a lot of these things quite some time ago when I got into powerlifting. And what I kind of want to touch on with today's podcast is how we perceive ourselves, all of the fitness trends out there telling us what we need to do to look a certain way, social media expectations, I'm going to call it, because now a lot of people, that's all they see is the fake stuff on social media, right? Or now a huge thing we could touch on and we don't have to, but it's like now everyone's doing Ozempic to lose weight, right?
Oh gosh, yeah.
So there's all of these things and it's what we take in a majority of us all the time, like how many people they just scroll all day long at their job or whatever they're doing. And so I learned about 3 years ago that if I did less and I ate more, I looked a lot better. And it was kind of hilarious because as we got into this, and like at first you're like, well, I'm only working out 4 days a week. This is kind of weird. Like, can I do an extra day? What's going on? And I'm like, no, you've got to recover because then your system will be happy. And then it was funny, the less days we got into, I think towards the end of your prep, we were at like 3 days a week and sometimes even two. And when you were traveling and we're working around that and you're like, oh my gosh, I look at myself in the mirror and I'm like, what is going on here?
Yeah, it's like, it's crazy. So I have always been like a promoter of eating more food. Like I like food. I like to help people to learn how to eat more food. People just, they don't get it. Like you can eat more food. I promise you can, but I was still in the working out like 6 days a week phase of my whole life. And when I started working with you, I was like, this is not a thing. Like I can't do four days. I just feel like, I just felt like I wasn't doing enough. And then I realized like, my body is changing. Oh, I'm getting stronger. It's just like all of a sudden everything just started like flowing together. And I'm like, this makes a lot of sense. And I even struggled with it there towards the end too, because I was like, I'm just going to like get it all done. 1, 2, 3, like it was like Thursday, Friday, Saturday. And you're like, don't do that. You need to rest. And I'm like, I was just going to sneak it in. You're like, don't sneak it in. Just give your body rest.
I know. And that's the funny part, right? Is like, so you get to learn all these new things, especially you coach people. I coach people in our just regular day-to-day journeys. We've learned all these things and I was kind of reflecting on it. I get ready in the morning and this is what I do. I think about things like this, but I'm getting ready in the morning and I have some inspirational quotes written on my mirror and whatnot. And I'm reading this and I'm like, okay, so I would not even coach a person remotely the way I do now. No way, right? And I'm sure that this shed a lot of light on what you were doing as well. And I feel like we kind of talked about it when you got done having Rigel. You were like, I need a goal. I need something to do.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. I definitely felt like I was like in this weird stuck phase. Like I got back into working out after having had him, like I had my rest time or whatever. And then it was like, I was just doing the same thing. And I didn't feel like I was pushing myself hard enough, but I didn't really know which way I wanted to push myself. And it was really kind of weird. But when he was like 6 months or 7 months old, I was like, I've got to figure out a goal. And it's not going to be to get like lean and shredded and bodybuilding style. Like that's just not going to happen. I'm still nursing and all the things. So I was like, I've always wanted to do powerlifting and I never actually pulled the trigger. So I'm just going to see how it goes. And I'm not going to compete though. I'm not going to compete. I'm just going to see how it goes. And then I talked to Connie and Connie talked me into doing it and I did it. And I thought it was wonderful.
Oh, I had to really work hard to talk you into it too. I'm pretty sure. I mean, yeah. I was practically begging you, wasn't I?
Yeah. But I'm so glad I did it. And like, I am going to do it again. Like I am excited for the next time, the next go around. Like I'm just, it was an amazing experience that I didn't expect it to be as amazing as it was.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Especially since I was like, I'm just going to train this way and maybe not actually compete. And then I did it. And I'm like, oh great. Now I'm stuck. Now I'm hooked.
So it was kind of ironic though, because we switched from the the more days to less days, more recovery, more like less volume, more strength. So lower reps, higher weight. And then your body started to change and you're like, I'm losing weight. I'm leaning out. Like, you're sending me pictures. I'm seeing pictures in your Instagram stories. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh wow. I can't remember exactly what you said to me, but you're like, I just realized that I'm like working less hard than I was. And it's hard in a different way. It's still got a hardness to it. Right. But you're not like going to failure every single set. You're not doing tons of volume. And so you were doing lower reps, higher weight. You're noticing your body change. You're recovering more, which was hard to get a grasp on. Still sounds like maybe it's a little on the back there, but your body's totally changing. You're like, whoa, I have abs. Whoa, I'm losing weight. Whoa, all this stuff is happening. And I'm like, okay, well, you got to eat more. And the more you ate, it seemed like the better your body composition got. And you came to me, you were already eating a ton. Like, I mean, obviously you preach that. I preach that. We're all about the food, right? But then you were like, holy cow, I don't even know if I can eat anymore. This is crazy.
Yeah.
And that's when you're like, okay, so let's talk about this, because what does social media tell us? And what does Pinterest tell us? And what does society tell us? They tell us, do lots of reps with 5-pound pink dumbbells in order to tone up. And it's just not the case.
Yeah. Yeah. It's not the case at all. And I've never been the lots of reps, lightweight type of person, but I still was like, grind, like do it, grind, make it hard. Like, it's got to suck. You got to go every day type of person. And then the more I realized this, I was like, okay, I can eat more and I can lift heavier and I can go harder and I can have more recovery time. Like, it was just like everything finally made sense in my mind and in my body. And I don't know. It was just like, I even came to you and was just like shocked several times. Like, I know how to eat, but like, I'm still losing weight or I'm still like leaning out or whatever. And I like, that's not my goal, you know? Mm-hmm. And you're like, you need to eat more. And I'm like, I'm already eating a ton. And it's just so cool to experience something different. Mm-hmm. And I think that was like a huge thing, stepping out of my comfort zone and trying this different style of training. Mm-hmm. But I really think you can bring it to every single person in their own way. Like, it doesn't have to be the exact same workout I was doing before, or it doesn't have to be, you know, whatever. You can bring that rest, recovery, pushing yourself a little bit harder on the days that you are working out, but not having to like kill yourself to make these changes happen. And I think a lot of times people are trying to kill themselves and they're wondering why they're not making progress. And it's because you're not allowing yourself recovery. You're not getting proper rest. You're not, you know, all the things. So yeah, it's just crazy.
Well, and I think you and I both probably have gotten to a place where we have a lot of introspection throughout our health journey. You bodybuild, I was a bodybuilder. We are moms, we are coaching people. And I think that, and I could be, I don't know the kind of clientele that you get, but I think with myself, not you in particular, but a lot of the women that I get, they are thinking they can abuse their body into looking a certain way. And so instead of being this positive outlet, fitness becomes this thing that they dislike because they're trying to force their body to look a certain way. They don't enjoy it. It's not something that makes them feel powerful and strong. Now, some people do get addicted to it, and that's a different story. But for the most part, you're adding another element of stress to life. And I'm sure you can talk on this much better than I can, because my oldest child is 17 years old now. I'm kind of beyond the toddler chase people around phase. I remember what it was like to be in that phase, and it's very overwhelming, right? We love being moms. It's a great thing, but being a mom is really stressful in and of itself. And then how many postpartum moms do you know? They want to get their body back. What's the first thing they start doing? Their body is doing so much for them. Lack of sleep, parenting, work, school, you name it. Their body is doing so much for them. And they are then turning around and trying to abuse it back into looking the way it did before they had their baby. And that's just how they get let down. They don't get the results that they're looking for. They end up becoming discouraged and hating the gym and getting all of these binge eating disorders, you name it. And I'm hoping you can talk about that a little bit from a newer mom perspective, I guess.
Yeah. So for anyone who doesn't know, my son is not yet a year and a half, but soon to be, which is crazy. So I have actually recently had a ton of people say, and not that I need the compliments or whatever, but it's nice, say, wow, you do not even look like you had a child. And I said, that's what caring for your body looks like. That's what eating well, training, resting, doing what you can looks like. And mm-hmm. I said, it's a year and a half later, almost a year and a half later. It didn't happen in 3 months. Like, I even looked at some of my like postpartum videos or photos of myself the other day, and I was like, woof, thank goodness I'm not there anymore. Mm-hmm. But I remember at that time saying, I refuse to be that person. Like, I refuse to be the person that wants to get skinny. I refuse to be the person that doesn't eat enough, doesn't this, doesn't that. I really wanted to be able to nurse my son as long as I could. And I knew that cutting my calories or over-exercising or whatever was not going to be the key to that. And it wasn't going to be the key to taking care of my mental health or anything like that. Like, the stresses that just life happens. Mm-hmm. And so I've slowly but surely been able to share that with several people who will make comments like that, or I had my baby a month after you or whatever, and want to know what I did. And it's like, I didn't do anything but feed my body well, like with good food and plenty of it, and then allow myself to have the recovery time it takes to have a child or a surgery or whatever. And then, you know, just actually doing hard work in the gym, but allowing for that recovery. I also think having a goal in mind was really helpful for me, and a strength goal at that, not a physique goal. I made a video on our YouTube channel, and I was just like, I didn't want to be stuck in the postpartum mom vibe. I just mm-hmm. didn't want to be there. I didn't want to try to get to like a certain body. I knew it was going to happen eventually. My mm-hmm. body would heal and the hormones would go through all the different cycles that it needs to go through. It was going to get there eventually. And I just wanted a goal that would be good for me and my mental and the funness of working out. That's why I chose like to just do the body or the powerlifting. Cause I'm like, this is a great goal. This is fun. I can have someone who keeps me accountable and challenges me in the right way and not focus on what my body looks like. And then my body just like fell into this mold. And obviously, like, I'm still not happy with the way I look because I'm my own worst critic, but mm-hmm. I'm pretty happy with where I'm at. You know, it's like, I'm like, I can't really ask my body to do more when I'm not focused on weight loss. I'm not focused on like tightening up that baby body, and it's just fallen there. Mm-hmm. You know, it takes work, but mm-hmm. it's just happened. And I hate seeing other moms just like eating so little and over-exercising and just stressing their body out on top of all the other stresses that come with being a mom.
Well, so we could take this one step further, because as somebody in the fitness industry, I mean, I'm sure you've gotten the comments, I would do that, but I'm too busy with my kids, or, you know, kind of that mom shame for taking care of yourself. Right. Mm. So let's talk about this a little bit, because we do as moms have shame about taking care of ourselves. We put our kids first. Sometimes we will not do something for ourselves in order to see that something happens for them or to be present as a parent. But I've talked about this frequently, where you do have to take good care of yourself in order to be the best parent that you can be as well. I mean, how many people do you know out there that are really overweight and unhealthy, and they have all these health conditions and they can't even take their kid to the park without huffing and puffing? Do you think that that's putting your child as a priority as well? So mm-hmm. maybe we could talk about that a little bit.
I do feel like, you know, you do get those comments. I'm actually pretty lucky to not have a super negative group of people, you know, following me. But there are those people that are like, oh, you should be spending time with your kid, blah, blah, blah. You will see in like 90% of my videos, my child running around. Like, Connie got all my training videos and you can see it on my Instagram, whatever. My kid is almost always in the gym with me. And there was times where I'm like, I cannot with this right now. Like, he is driving me crazy. He's getting into everything, but we always made it work. If I needed to, like, Robert would watch him, or we'd have a playpen or whatever. I figured out a way to where he can be with me or someone can watch him so that I can get my workout in. But he's with me. I mean, like, you can do it. It may not always be the picture perfect thing, but you can do it. That's exactly how I got to my powerlifting meet. Otherwise there would just be no way. Then there was hard days where it was like, okay, this is a long workout. He's just got to get on with it, you know? But there should be no guilt around a mother taking care of herself, because you wouldn't think anything of a dad waking up early, going to the gym, coming back, getting ready for work and leaving. But if a mom wakes up early and the dad's there taking care of the children, then it's like, oh, what are you doing? Well, and then you post it on Instagram. Like, shouldn't you be at home with your kid? You know, and I don't want to play like the mom dad game, because we can all do that. But a mom get a lot of the backlash of posting something like that when it seems normal for a dad to be able to do that. You have the guilt of, oh my goodness, I want to go take care of myself. And it really is like your nutrition and your fitness. Like, if you, I mean, there's other things that make you feel good, like getting your nails done, your hair done, or whatever. Those are not going to, in the long run, benefit your child, but you taking care of your body will benefit your child. So it's 100% worth it. You are not only taking care of your body to be able to have fun with them, but you're giving them an example of what to follow, of how to take care of themselves, so that when they have children or when they're in school or when they're having a stressful life later on, they know how to manage those things because you have set the example.
I 100% agree with that. And I can tell you, I have gotten flack, especially from my intermediate family, which was a crazy thing, right? Since I got into fitness. And I can tell you one thing, my kids are crazy about being in shape. My son, he's 17 years old. And when people see him, they're like, whoa, that kid is jacked. And I'm like, he doesn't even work out with me anymore. I'm not cool enough. You know, like, he goes and does that stuff by himself. He's like, hey mom, I'm going over to work out at the neighbor's. We have a gym, by the way, but my gym is not cool enough. And the neighbor's garage gym is. So he goes and works out over there. Or he'll go to the gym and work out with his high school friends. He's usually the one trying to help them out because he's grown up around this stuff. It comes naturally to him. So he's like their own private personal trainer at this point. And it was actually pretty funny. I've been traveling the whole month of October. So have you. And he was like, well, mom, I could just train your clients for you if you wanted. And I was like, I don't know if that would go over well, but, you know, I appreciate the offer, but, you know, it's all good. But your little guy watching you that do all of this, before you blink, he's going to be grown up and doing it with you. And it's going to be a part of his life. And it's going to be something that you implanted into him that he can pass on to his own kids. And it's such an awesome thing to watch.
Yeah. He finally did like a copy of what I was doing the other day. I was doing some squats. It was like probably a month ago. I was doing some squats and I look over and he's like literally squatting like up and down. And I'm like, see, this is it. Like, it starts this little, and it's not, I'm not instilling in him, you have to look good. You have to, you know, that's not my goal, but my goal is what's going to help us have longevity of life. What's going to help us to be able to accomplish the things that we want to get done in our day to day. You and I both, we have property. We have either animals or want more animals, you know, things like that. It's just like, that does take work, and you can't just not train. Maybe you can, I don't know. It's helpful to train for those things, you know? It's like it's just so, to me, it's so worth it. So worth it to set that example for him.
Yeah, totally. And being able to be functional, I think, is huge. I was kind of giggling while you were saying this because it was like peak week for you or something. And this video pops up on your Live Savage account of you guys like doing fence posts or something. And I was like, I sent you a message. I was like, you are not pounding fence posts this week, are you? And you were like, no, no, that was a couple days ago or a week ago or something like that. And I was like, oh, I was like, you had to be so worried right there. I thought in peak week when we're supposed to be relaxing and getting ready for powerlifting meet, I thought you were out there building fence. I mean, which is totally something I would be totally guilty of. And that's why I was like, wait a minute, you know, but so I had a little giggle right there while you were saying that. But I think there's definitely not enough of that. And one thing that I definitely see in fitness too, is you see these parents that they want to go on a diet and they want to get healthier, or maybe they just want to look a certain way. They start meal prepping and doing all these things, and then their kids are still eating a bunch of junk food. And I know in your house, we are very similar in our households where we are very careful about what goes into our whole family, not just ourselves. And it was kind of funny. One day, a guy in the gym walked up to me. He's like, hey, Connie, what do you eat? And I told him what I eat. And he's like, did your family eat that too? And I was like, yeah. I was like, I want them to be healthy too. And I was like, there is no option in my house. We all eat the same thing. My kids know, like my daughter's 9. She knows what protein and carbs and fat are. She knows how to read a nutrition label. I think these are all things that are getting missed in current society that need to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's, I do also get the, like, someone will say, you know, don't you think that doing things these things in front of your kid can lead them to an eating disorder or this or that? And it's like, you know, I think if you word it in a certain way, like our goal is not to make them feel like they have to be this picture perfect person, but it's the image of health is what our goal is. And the image of health can look a lot of different ways. But then I have clients who will be like, oh, I fell off because I took like what was left over on my kid's lunch or like their plate. And I'm like, well, what is your kid eating? Mm-hmm. And they're like, well, I made mac and cheese and some chicken nuggets. And I'm like, and what did you have for lunch? And they're like, grilled chicken and a salad. And like, and your kid can't have grilled chicken and a salad instead of chicken, you know, like, it, like whatever it is that they're eating, or a bowl of ground beef. It's like you made something completely separate from them, had their food and fell off. But shouldn't you be, you know, and again, I don't want to be judgmental, but it's like, shouldn't they be, you have control over what goes in their mouth. You have control over what is in your refrigerator and in your pantry and things like that. Their health should be a priority too. And if you're not eating those things because you know it's not healthy, but you're still feeding it to your children, it just doesn't make sense to me, you know, like exactly what you were saying. Like it just doesn't enter your home. Like your kids eat what is in your home. And if they eat something when they're not at home, that's pretty much on them. But what you're going to provide for them is going to be stuff that you can also eat. And it's not going to make you fall off of your plan because I don't know, just,
Well, and being confident that you gave them the right tools for their toolkit, whether when they get older, they choose to use those, that's one thing. But knowing that from a parenting aspect, you were like, hey, this is what grows your muscle, or this is what makes you healthy, or blah, 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 blah. Like, we don't approach it from an orthorexic good food, bad food standpoint. We approach it from a health standpoint. And I think that's really important. And I kind of learned that early, because when my daughter was about 3, I was still doing bodybuilding shows at that point. And I remember I had just gotten done with my very last time I ever competed, and I started to gain weight again. And I gained a lot of weight because I had some issues with Hashimoto's, and I gained about 55 pounds. And I remember her going, Mom, your belly is fat. And that was when I was like, oh, I taught her that a shredded six pack is normal at 3 years old. And she realized that. And we had to sit and have a talk at 3 years old. I was like, no, it's actually normal to gain weight sometimes. And you can do that. And I said, this is still a healthy body. And we had to have all those talks. And that's when my brain had to restructure everything that I did in my home. It was no longer meal prepping to lose weight. It was never talking about my weight on the scale or weight loss or being fat or anything like that. It had to be geared towards being healthy, because when it became a body dysmorphia type driving or good food, bad food type behavior, I had to be very careful about how I phrased it.
And I think that's the whole thing, is being aware of how you're phrasing things. And honestly, I feel like people who are struggling over and over and over again with their weight or with dieting constantly, they're probably more likely to slip up on saying something like, I am fat. I don't like the way I look in this. I don't feel like this. Than someone who is kind of already in the fitness space and trying to raise their child up in the same way that they are going, and helping other people who are stuck in this diet up and down culture, to just live a healthy lifestyle. And, because I think we try to figure out, okay, how can I word this? How can I phrase things? How can I talk on the phone to whoever, my sister, cousin, whatever, about the way I feel about myself without my child hearing me in the background? You know, mm-hmm. It's like you are so hyper aware of it because we are in it. Mm-hmm. And then you have people who are constantly up and down and all over. You hear it all the time. I feel like so many of my friends are like, I started dieting when I was 12 because I heard my mom talking about this and that. And I thought the same thing about myself. And so I think just being aware of the way that you're talking about yourself and the way that you're trying to obtain these goals of being skinny or looking a certain way or whatever, and not making it a goal of health at first, mm-hmm. you know?
Yeah, absolutely. And I tell people a lot of this, like, there is a place, obviously, when you're working with a client, you may have to be in a deficit or you may have to have food restrictions, because a lot of people are already in that negative account balance. So we kind of have to bring it back to a positive account balance before we can start working on bringing food back in and working calories up and doing all of that kind of stuff. But that can be really hard too, because you have to be able to drive good behavior and give people success. And so it's a very hard balance. And so I understand that. Now, talking to you about this recent journey in the last year with powerlifting. So I'm assuming, like all of us, and I could be wrong, I will say from my aspect of things, when I was a bodybuilder, I was always going in the gym trying to change my body. And the big thing with powerlifting that I noticed was the minute I took my focus off of growing more muscle, losing more fat, growing bigger lats, bigger delts, like the minute I took it off of changing myself and focused it more towards how much can I load on the bar, that's when my body changed immensely. It was insane what happened to me, actually. Like, I look at myself in the mirror now and I'm like, what the heck is going on? Like, and it always gets better. That's the crazy part. It never gets worse. It always gets better. Every time I look, I swear I'm better. And I'm like, what's going on here? Because all I do is eat and all I do is train to see how much weight I can put on the bar. So I'm wondering how that played into your journey as well.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, on point. Like, that's exactly how it was. It was like, because I didn't want to focus on the way I looked. I wanted to focus on feeling good. And it was just like immediate. Like, I feel so much better. I love this style of training. And it was like, that's exactly what I needed. It's exactly what my body needed. It's like almost like you took that stress away, but also like you just focusing on something else that you're like, oh, like you're almost shocked because you're not looking at your body every day. Like, did I change? You know, mm-hmm. It's like, no, you just like all of a sudden they're like, wow, my quads have grown. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know when that happened, but it did. Cause you're not staring at every day trying to figure out like, am I growing? Am I looking better? Am I leaning out? Am I doing this? Mm-hmm. But yeah, totally. Like, I had constant shock. And you asked me at one point, you're like, has Robert noticed, or like, has he like paid attention? I'm like, he's so in the zone with his own prep right now. Like, he doesn't even, but I can point out things like, look at this, like, look at this old picture. And like, I've only been doing this for 5 months, you know, like, it's just crazy how much my body changed when I took that off of being the focus and just focused on lifting. And then randomly I would say, oh, wow, look at that. That's changed a lot and really quickly. Mm-hmm. So it's pretty cool.
Yeah. And I think that we learned some other things with this as well that we can help other women with our journeys. And that is that things don't have to be perfect in order to achieve success. You just have to show up. So how many days were you like, oh my gosh, I'm traveling this whole month. I don't know what I'm going to do. And I was like, okay, let's split it up into 2 days a week. let's make this work. Let's just go in and do our compounds. Like, okay, you don't have time today. You're like, I don't have someone to watch Rigel today. And I got this going on. I'm like, okay, so let's just go in and squat today. Let's not do any mm-hmm. accessories. Let's just up the squats. We'll do an extra couple extra sets or whatever it might've been. It was not what people would consider to be optimal, but the thing that's optimal about it is you're still getting in there and doing it, and you're not overloading your stress systems and everything else in the process while you're scrambling, trying to figure out how to get 5 days a week in while you're a busy mom.
Yeah, that's exactly it. Like, this has been the craziest, busiest season in a long time. And there is a point where I was just like, I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do that. And Connie was just like, you just got to do what you can do. Like, if that means it's 2 days, that means it's 2 days. If that means it's just compounds, it's just compounds. Like, it was very helpful to have someone remind me that it's okay as long as you're going, as long as you're doing the thing. Mm-hmm. And yeah, there was definitely days where it was like not optimal, definitely not optimal days. Like, Rigel would be freaking out and just screaming at me or whatever was going on in life. And it's just like, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm doing the best I can. Like, that's what I have to offer. And there was a point where I almost decided not to compete. Like, what was it? 4 weeks out from my meet. Yeah, and I was like, I can't do this anymore. It's too much pressure. I don't have enough time. And like, you and Robert both talked me off the ledge. You're like, Crystal, like, give it what you have. Give it the time that you have. And actually at that point too, like, Robert realized, like, I am to my limit. And he really started to take over care on Rigel and things like that. Like, I'm to my limit. I cannot do anymore. And mm-hmm. I really want this to be a thing. I really want to do this for myself. And you guys just said, show up, put in the work that you can, put in the time that you can, and that will be good enough. You've already made gains in the last 7 months. Just show up with what you have. And that made a huge difference to me in my mental, because it was like, I was ready to give up. Like, that's so dumb. Why would you give up? Like, you've been putting in all of this work, show up, do what you can, put in the work, and then give it what you got. And that is it. Give it what you got. You know?
I think I can't remember what I said, but you were like, oh, I just don't know that. I'm like, you're already there though. You have already done the work. I'm like, literally, I said, you just hit like 135 for a 5x5. Like, it was an empty bar. Why would you stop right now? Because the point of getting on a powerlifting platform is to be better than you were the last time you got on. I mean, we can all make gym PRs all day. If that's your thing, then that's cool. Me, I want something saying that I did this and I had somebody watching me and I did it the right way, you know? And so that was kind of the thing I tried to construe throughout the whole process, was like, hey, you know, platform way different than the gym. When you get there and you get it done and you have those numbers on the board, next time it's so much easier to be like, okay, I just have to best me. I don't have to worry about what everybody else is doing. And that's an excellent thing about powerlifting, right? Nobody cares. Everybody's cheering for you. Even if they're competing against you, they're high-fiving you and telling you to go, because they're paying attention to their own, they're staying in their own lane, right? They're like, okay, I want to hit my numbers. I have my numbers in my head, not Susie's numbers or Sally's or whoever's up there. It's time to go up and just do the best I've ever done. And I think you kind of realized that once you stepped off the platform after your last deadlift, you were like, I now understand all of this.
Yeah, it really is that way. And it's kind of cool because I did share like, hey, I'm doing a powerlifting thing. And then I shared like the video of my meet and things like that. And it's really cool. And now I have people like asking, when is your next meet? Are you going to do your next meet? And I'm like, I got to focus on like where I'm at in the season right now. So this is Robert's competing season and it's not mine. Like, like, I just don't have it in me right now, but it's cool because people are excited to see you do your best again. You know, like, they're excited to see you in your element, doing your thing. And it's cool because it's like a group. Like, it's like a, I don't even know.
Culture.
Yeah. It's like a culture. Like, they are so excited for you. And it's like, it's smaller. It's a smaller culture than, the people who are wanting to look a certain way or beach body or whatever. but those people are consistent. They're consistently saying, like, did you get a new PR? Like, how's your deadlifts? How's this? How's that? Like, it's a continual care about how you're feeling. I have someone who continually sends me videos of their like new PRs and stuff. And I'm like, this is amazing, you know? And yeah, it's just really cool. And it's also something that like right now, this is not the season for me to be signed up for a meet, but you can still train. Like you are still constantly working on your body, building that up so that when you are ready again, you're doing it. Like you've already put in the work and the back end of things. So when you're ready to do another meet, you can train for it. You know what I mean? Like you're already doing the work, but then you can kind of do that training leading up to the meet. So that's another thing I really appreciate about this sport is that you can take a little bit of time, get some more strength, do the thing, like whatever season in life throws at you, which is just really cool.
Absolutely. I just spent my last year in a one-armed season, so I can
tell
you how that, like, but guess what? I'm still showing up. So it's I totally get it. But if there was one thing that you could leave anybody with on this podcast, though, as far as the things that you've learned on this journey, what would it be?
Oh gosh.
Or two, or whatever you got to do to I know it's a hard one.
It is. Gosh. I feel like I've said this several times, but making health your priority is going to, it's going to change your physique. It's going to change your body from the inside out. Focusing on all the other aspects, all the things that seem little, like sleep and recovery and, stress levels and things like that, that just seem like the small outer level things. It's those are almost more important. Like they're not more important. They're just as important as the actual workout, the food going into your mouth. Like those are also important things. So focusing on all around health will help you to sculpt your body and your mind, and everything will just flow a little bit more easily together. And I found that this is much more my passion than just straight up weight loss, you know, like, and I think that I've come into this new, like, wow, this is so life changing that I cannot do it another way. You know, I just cannot help someone do that in do this in another way, because this just makes sense. And everyone's starting from a different spot. So I don't want people to be like, well, Crystal, you had a baby, but you know, I gained 100 pounds in the last year. What do you want me to do? You know, everyone's starting in a different position. It will take different amounts of time. It will take different amounts of effort. But if you put health, all around health, functional health, every aspect of the health, and just start chipping away little bits at a time at each one of those, that's what's going to help you. Not just the diet that feels restrictive or just the 6 days a week workout. It's everything together. So that's it.
I love it. Very, very well said. So if people want to go find you, what you do, go scope out your powerlifting journey. There's videos, I think, on YouTube and Instagram and all over the place. How do they do that?
So my Instagram is the.lady.savage. Our Instagram is Our YouTube is Live Savage. And then you can pretty much find us anywhere, like on Live Savage, Keto Savage, Lady Savage. That's just where we are at. And I also have a website, the ladysavage.com, that you guys can check out.
I will put all that in the show notes too, so people can stalk you and follow your journey, because it's a good one and it's a good positive social media model. I feel like a lot of people don't fill their social media feed with the most positive stuff. So you can go add Crystal. It's great and it's positive and I love it. So
yeah, I appreciate it.
Well, thank you so much for joining me today. I appreciate you sharing your story with everybody.
Well, thank you for having me and happy to share.
Thank you.
Thanks for tuning in. To learn more about me, my online programs, or to inquire about coaching, please visit www.connynightingale.com. And remember, nothing in the contents of this show is intended to diagnose, treat, or cure any illness, and it is for entertainment purposes only. Please consult with your primary care physician before implementing any new health protocols.